Welcome to Prepared with your host, Harry Aburi. Join the conversations that will prepare you for a future yet to be discovered.
Hello, everyone. It's a pleasure to invite our next guest onto the show, Dennis Kirwan. Dennis is the CEO of Dymic Digital, a digital marketing company that offers a full range of services. Dennis is also a contributor to the Forbes Agency Council. He's been part of international business development strategy formulation, a frequent speaker as well. Dennis, welcome to the show. Why don't you share with us a little more about yourself?
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, so appreciate the introduction. And I am, once again, Dennis Kirwan, CEO of Dymic Digital. And myself and my two business partners co-founded this company about 7 years ago. And prior to starting this company, we actually all used to work together at a very large Inc. 500 marketing company here in Los Angeles. So I've been in the game a while, and even before getting into the digital marketing space, I was in the startup world. So I was involved in venture capital and helping new companies get off the ground. And so digital marketing and the world that we live in today, I've been very involved in it. I would say from some of the earlier days, so I'm kind of a dinosaur in this industry, even though I'm only about middle age. It's a little bit about me, and I'm looking forward to talking more about the future of digital and being here on your show today.
Absolutely, and there cannot be a better time. You know, we live in very trying times with the COVID-19 situation, where the entire world has gone online in some shape or form. So I think it is the perfect time to have somebody like you come in and share your perspectives on being digital. But on a lighter note, I know a gentleman by the name Garrett Reisman. He's an ex-NASA astronaut and a former director at SpaceX Operations. He has a very famous quote. It says, "Why do dinosaurs go extinct? Because they didn't have a space program." So in a way, businesses today that are finding it extremely difficult to survive and are actually being in a chaotic form disrupted because they were not prepared for it, or just didn't pay enough attention to what digital means. In your forthcoming article on Forbes, I found a very interesting statement that you make. "We all appreciate the fantastic role played by the frontline workers, people in coffee shops giving you takeaway coffee, food delivery, not to mention, obviously, all the people doing tremendous work in healthcare, the first responders, etc. But in the economy itself, you say that these workers inadvertently are demonstrating how new technology is actually at play. What did you mean by that? And could you explain that a little more?"
You hear this current crisis compared a lot to, you know, the pandemic of 1918. Obviously, that was a very long time ago. But when you think about how it was then and how it affected this country and the world at that time versus how this current pandemic is affecting us, imagine just all of the conveniences that we have right inside of our home. We're all being quarantined now, more or less. There's strong social distancing in place, yet we could still do just about everything. We could watch movies, we can order food, we can, even have meetings virtually. And here we are on a podcast working from our homes as well under the circumstances. So the list really goes on as far as what technology has allowed us to do. And even just what we've seen in the last several years of these new innovative apps that have come out, whether we're talking about Postmates or we're talking about Grubhub or we're talking about even some of these telemedicine apps that are coming out where you could even go to the doctor virtually see a physician or a pharmacist. And it's incredible what's out there now. And I think that there were a lot of people that didn't even know that some of these apps and technology existed, and they've been sort of forced to embrace it and use it because here they are sitting at home and they need things. And what they're discovering is, wow, there are all these great websites and apps and things that I can actually do still, even while I sit here in my house. And so that's been the big eye opener, I think, for me, is just kind of reflecting on this last century and the differences between that pandemic and this pandemic and how we're very fortunate to be in these times during this crisis.
We know that digital has been the way we work in for many of us. You know, while there are organizations and people who haven't experienced fully, including aspects of working from home or managing a very remote business, there are companies that are managing thousands of employees and creating economic value without actually being physically in one place. But, you know, this is more evident in retail where digital actually has disrupted a lot of big players. And we see that in digital payments and in healthcare. What is it that we do not know yet about being digital? What are the other blind spots we may have?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there are many, really. And it's interesting, you know, even being the CEO of a digital marketing company, I'm still learning new stuff all the time. And I still see this light at the end of the tunnel as far as where our company can go with embracing more innovation. And there are so many great tools out there now that allow you to really turn marketing, for example, into this integrated ecosystem. There are really advanced CRMs out there now. One of the more popular ones, of course, is Salesforce. And there are others that are getting really good now too, such as HubSpot. And there are tools like Slack, which allows workforces to communicate effectively within their own organization, but at the same time, connect a lot of the dots with the different tools that they're using. So a lot of businesses use QuickBooks, for example, and a lot of businesses have a myriad of different tools that they're using. But what I think business owners are finally starting to realize is that all of this stuff doesn't have to be fragmented anymore. Rather than having all these different places that you have to go, you could actually connect everything. And that's what's really been a game changer lately, is the efficiencies that we're starting to see come to light. And that's what's exciting for me, is marketing automation and really automating so many things that we used to have to do that were so tedious. And really, as you can see, as us humans over the last century and how we've evolved, everyone's always been scared of the machine, right? I mean, even in the Industrial Revolution, they were scared that the people that were, you know, on the lines were going to lose their jobs and so on. But look what it's done. It's allowed us to have jobs that aren't backbreaking, where we have to work in factories for long stretches of time. It allows us to use our creative thinking, when before, maybe we were too busy plowing fields, we didn't have time to think about that stuff. So I think that there's always going to be new jobs that are created and new things that people can do. So we can't be afraid of the machine. We have to embrace it. And I think that's what's been really interesting about this crisis that's taking place, is that people who were slow to change now have no choice. And now they're seeing how convenient it really is and what it can do for us. To answer your question more directly, when it comes to businesses, yes, a lot of us were already ordering stuff on Amazon and things in that nature, but I think a lot of businesses were forced to suddenly have all their employees go remote, and they never thought it was possible. I see CEOs of huge companies on television every single day saying, if you would have told me 3 weeks ago or a month ago that I had to have 98% of our staff effectively run our company in just a couple of weeks, I would have said, you're crazy. But you know what? We did it. And I think that's what's happening now. There's been a turning point where people are seeing it can be done. We just never really had to absolutely do it. But that's the silver lining of this whole pandemic, is that a lot of companies have been forced into innovation. And I think that's a really good thing for digital.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I think one of the outcomes will be that when the market does fully open up, if I was the CEO of a company, I would fundamentally question, saying, hey, is there a percentage of work that we leave as remote rather than go back to the normal? I think there is a new normal that has been established. And it's far easier that people are discovering that working remote, working digital is probably far better. And you, it's almost like you've tasted a new element of doing business and you can't go back from there. Which basically then brings into question two key functions in this kind of situation, sales and marketing. In the past, the first mile was a billboard, right? So you saw a billboard advertisement, you saw an ad on TV, you got an email marketing campaign, or you got a referral through somebody using a product. And the last mile was the store. You would walk into the store and buy the product. But in today's digital world, the first mile is my house where I order it from. And interestingly, the last mile is also my house where the product turns up. So when the first mile and last mile is so fundamentally redefined, how are sales and marketing as functions being impacted?
Well, that question's right up my alley for sure. So it's been interesting just in the time that I've been in the industry to see the incredible changes that have taken place. And I can remember when, you know, I was a young adult and I was, I hate to age myself, but I used to use, for example, I'd have to pull over my first car and actually use a physical map just to navigate myself around Los Angeles. And, you know, that's because GPS was a very new and expensive thing that not a lot of people had. And similarly at the home, we had the big, you know, old school yellow pages where you pull it out of the kitchen drawer and it weighed 10 pounds. And, you know, then as the years went on, people just started throwing those in the recycle bin. So yes, times are changing. And this is really the age of the consumer now, and things have really shifted to more of an inbound strategy. Businesses really can't say that we're the best at this, we're the best at that. Back in the day, you would buy a full page ad and just say that you're the best company at whatever you do. And people would just think that you were, maybe because you had the full page and everybody else had these smaller ads perhaps. But now you can actually hold businesses accountable in a way, or they can't really, you know, sing their own praises from a rooftop because the transparency is there. People can review companies. You can't do those things anymore because everything has gone to online reviews. People can check you out online. They can see your social media. They can look at the quality of your website, see what other folks are saying about you. The list goes on, even employees for that matter. There are so many ways you can investigate a company now online that everyone knows this. The cat is out of the bag. So everything had to shift. And in the marketing world, we've seen this transition into more of an inbound strategy, even at our own company. For example, when we first started, we actually had a sales force. We had multiple people that were calling tons of businesses on a daily basis, hoping to get that one person at the right time that was, you know, interested and had an open mind. That outbound marketing strategy has been completely removed from our company. Everything that we're doing now is more inbound focused. So we look at our brand first, and that's the best advice I give my clients is, what does your brand look like online when people look you up? Because you know they're going to. Heck, even if you have a billboard, what do you think that guy's going to do when he sees it? If it piques his interest, he's going to Google you. He's going to look you up. And so we have to ask ourselves and look in the mirror and say, would I buy from me? If I looked my brand up, would I be impressed? Is the content captivating and persuasive? Is it really solving problems that people have? Do I look trustworthy? Is someone comfortable giving me their credit card information by the looks of my digital landscape? These are the things that we have to think of. And what's interesting is once you do this, that not only is any type of advertising you do, if you decide you still want to do radio ads and you still want to mail flyers out, there's still, you know, a little bit of a market out there for that. And that, all that marketing that you're doing, whatever it might be, is going to be that much more effective when you have your ducks in a row and everything looks great online, because people are going to trust working with you based on what they're seeing. And so conversion rates will go up from that. And so shifting back to this inbound strategy and philosophy, what we've really had to do nowadays is all the things I just mentioned, but moreover, when we think about analytics and we think about how we can track this, the predictable ROI has gotten to a place now where someone knows if they put a $5 bill in a machine, they get a $20 bill back. So even if we're jumping into the pay-per-click ads and doing that for our business, that data is there. If we have the appropriate tracking on our website, we can see where these visitors are coming from. And this intelligence, it's amazing because we can see what marketing is really working and what isn't, and where are these folks coming from, these new clients and customers. And then you could really leverage that and focus more attention in those areas if you're having a lot of success in one particular space. And so, yes, the whole landscape of marketing is completely changed. And if I were to, you know, put it all into a nutshell, I would say, think of your brand first and then leverage it from there. And the business will come. And interesting enough, the last thing I'll say is that the search engines even have this built into them now, because they know that the motivated buyer would rather work with a business that has better reviews than the other businesses that are in its vertical. So that's even programmed into the algorithm of the search engines. And so they could determine whether or not they think prospective clients even would consider working with your business, and that will affect your search ranking. So it's all super interesting and it's changing so fast, but that's where we are today. And I think that's what businesses really need to pay attention to.
Thank you, Dennis. That was fascinating. And to do that kind of an brand-centric environment, I've always believed that you cannot necessarily be digital with your customers and be very archaic internally. What are your views on internal digitization? And I would probably even go further and say, it is more important to be digital internally first before we go external. What would you say to that and what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing it right now. And I think that the businesses out there that were resisting change or just thought to themselves they'll get around to it eventually. Imagine how difficult that would be to move your entire office to a remote situation if you still have everything in file cabinets. And what's amazing is even to this day, and I'm not going to mention any names, but I've onboarded clients who desperately need our help that literally multi-million dollar companies that have been around for decades. But the people that started that company and grew it to the success that it is today are in some cases still at that company. And yes, they're probably close to retirement, but their thinking is the same thinking they had when they started that company. And so they've resisted the change. And now suddenly they're in a place where they're scrambling and they're trying to figure out, how do I get all of these people to work effectively from home when everything is inside of our building? I can't move all these file cabinets or make these file cabinets visible to everybody at their home. So it's created a very inconvenient situation for a lot of companies and some big. And so the importance of digital goes without saying now. It is absolutely vital for a business to go digital and just embrace it, because you have to. When you never know what's going to happen, but it also gives you so much freedom. It was very easy for my company to pivot, for example, because we are a digital marketing agency, to be fair. That's what we do, right? So it was a matter of when we made the decision, everybody was at the office and, you know, we were getting the news and we said, okay, everybody grab your laptops. We're all going to jump onto, Zoom meetings or join me. And we're going to conduct meetings virtually moving forward. We all have our calendars synced up to our phones. And that's the other thing I love about this day and age, the smartphone. I mean, it's connecting everything, all the apps that these big software companies have and these websites that we use to conduct business. It's incredible. So yes, we must all go digital, and we must embrace the smartphone and embrace the online landscape and get it to work for us, because it will get you through times like this much easier, but it will also position you to really thrive in the future in the digital age of the consumer.
So let's bring that thinking down to small businesses. As you know, in today's environment, the small businesses have been significantly impacted more than the large multinationals for all reasons that we know, including scale. In an environment for small businesses, especially restaurants, small manufacturers, service vendors, etc., what does digital mean to that landscape?
Yeah, that's, it's a very good question. And I think since you mentioned restaurants, I'll start there. I think where we're at now, if I were, let's say, a small brick and mortar restaurant, the online ordering would have to go beyond just the traditional, you answer the phone and you do a pickup order. People are ordering food and more than ever from right from their phone. And the delivery system at a restaurant, in my opinion, especially now, needs to be the focal point. I believe that restaurants can no longer depend on dine-in business. They have to not have all of their eggs in one basket, so to speak. And because the shift is been forced on many who weren't even doing this yet, and now those people are seeing how convenient it really is, I believe that even after this is over, and we will get through this, and I think that, you know, a couple months down the road, there's just going to be a lot more people now that realize how fantastic it really is to just have the food delivered right to your house, right? And maybe some people that are just flat out anxious to be you know, closed in an area with a bunch of people. And that being said, the small business, the small restaurant, it's, they have to sink or swim now. And, you know, quite frankly, you can set up an online ordering system and patch yourself into these services, whether it be Postmates or Grubhub or Uber Eats, and make sure that you're connected to all the places that these customers are looking for places to eat. And so even on a small level, what I also love about this industry is a lot of these tools that I've been talking about are actually quite affordable. So even if you're a small business with a small budget, many of these things you could still utilize that require very small monthly fees. And so, you know, I would, my advice to the small business owner, you know, and hopefully they're keeping their head above water now, is the power they have in their fingertips on their smartphone or their computer at home is they can look all of this stuff up. You can Google just about anything and find the answers. You can find tutorial videos on YouTube and the list goes on. I mean, it's just amazing the power that we have in our fingertips. And you've probably heard this before, and I'll circle back and to your do a call back to your space reference at the very beginning. They say that our smartphone that we have today in our hand has more computing power than the first rocket ship that went and landed on the moon had. So if we wrap our head around that, that's the kind of power that everybody has now just about at their fingertips, and it's about time they start using it.
So we're obviously in a completely online interface moment in time. You mentioned the mobile phones and other interfaces. So where the customer eyeballs are today is very different, even in the last few days that we've experienced. So how are companies trying to get the eyeballs of customers onto their services and products?
For a lot of people, the answer is social media, especially if we're talking branding. And it depends on, of course, the industry that you're in. But, you know, if we're talking about a business that maybe is just now getting with the times, so to speak, they can really get themselves out there on social media in so many different ways. And, you know, maybe if you're a product, that answer could be an influencer. And it's something that I think a lot of folks haven't really considered. I would say that's one of the areas of social media that many businesses haven't tapped into yet. And there are influencers in just about every vertical. I'd probably say every vertical at this point, if I were to guess. And you could find these people to represent you. And a lot of them are looking for people to reach out to them, or they even have agents that manage that traffic for them, where they already have their own little miniature flyer that they send out digitally to people saying, here are my prices, here's what I'll do for you, and here's my follower base. And this exposure is incredible. And I got to tell you, one of the articles I wrote that was published on Forbes was about social media, and I talked about influencer marketing. And sure, there were definitely a lot more fake influencers than there are now. A lot of those have been bot-driven ones, have been squeezed out. And the algorithms of these social media sites have gotten a lot smarter. So nowadays, I think you have a much better shot of getting a real influencer to expose your brand and get it out there. And there are a lot of startups out there or small companies that, with just the right influencer saying, hey, this is a great product, you guys should use it, I love it, and sending out a free sample to that person. You know, there are a couple ways to spin this too. If you can't afford to pay that person the fee that they might be asking, you could actually very easily, for example, with a WordPress site, which a lot of people have, there's a plugin that you could install that has affiliate tracking, and you could give them a custom coupon code where that influencer does this promotion, and all their followers who use that coupon code get, let's say, 25% off this product. So they're happy to do it. And then in turn, that influencer knows how many sales were generated because of that tracking code, and so does the company. And they could appropriately pay that person out whatever they agreed to. So that's one way to do it. The other way that's more common, and I think is also still very, very effective, and I'll use Facebook as an example. Even on a local level, and this is probably the same reason that the founder of Facebook spent so much time in court the last couple of years, because of the privacy, right? Well, Facebook was already ginormous by the time he walked into the courts, and he already had all this data from customers who voluntarily gave it away because, you know, most people, when they see this long terms of service, they just kind of scroll to the bottom, check I agree, and they don't read it. But what they were doing was giving Zuckerberg the permission to do whatever he wanted with that information, which of course was amazing for advertising, because as a business, I could simply say, this is my target demographic, these are the areas that I want my ad to be seen. And this type of advertising to this day is still very affordable. The cost per impression is so low. And if I were to compare it side by side with, let's say, Google ads tend to be much more expensive. And so it's a great way to answer your question for smaller businesses and brands to really get their name out there if people don't know who they are yet. Because some people are in big cities, for example, and there's a lot of competition. But if you're targeting the right areas and you're doing targeted social media ads, you could really get your brand in front of the right people and start drawing a lot of attention to people that never knew about your company before. So that would be my advice, is explore the endless possibilities in social media. And there are even new ones that are still popping up. And depending on your vertical, if you have a younger audience, potentially TikTok's a big thing that's popular with the new generation. And you just have to pay attention to that stuff, even though you might not embrace social media yourself. If you're one of those people, still as a business owner today, you can't ignore social media. It's a big missed opportunity if you are.
Before we close, Dennis, one last question. We recently read the news of Macy's struggling to maintain itself. I would consider Amazon at least about 50 years ahead of Macy's in terms of their thinking. So did Amazon have the last laugh?
Yeah, I would say right now it's kind of looking that way. But hey, we're in the world where there's no such thing as true brand loyalty like we used to see back in the day with these big legacy companies like Macy's, where nowadays if something works better and is more convenient somehow, if you're able to beat Amazon in some way or form, and you think of a better way to deliver products and services at a better price point, then guess what? That one will probably be the next big thing. So I would say nobody's really safe, which is why it's important to remain innovative and keep your finger on the pulse as much as possible. But yeah, to answer your question, I think as of right now, Amazon's, the big dog on the block, and they're doing an amazing job with delivering products and services, products and services now too. And, everybody's relying on them. I mean, look what this crisis has done. It's people are now ordering things that they normally would go to the grocery store for. And this is a perfect example, right? We're talking about the change in Amazon having the last laugh. Well, think about it. I mean, there are people now, they're literally being told that, hey, only go to the grocery store if you really have to, and be super safe. And some people are like, you know what? I could wait a couple of days. I'm going to order all this stuff on Amazon. And you know what? Most of those things that are in the grocery store are on Amazon. And so, yeah, they really were ahead of the time, and they positioned themselves in an amazing way, and they grew to a size that they could handle this kind of volume. And they're crushing it right now.
Thank you, Dennis. It was, as ever, a pleasure to listen to your thoughts and quite articulate in terms of where we are headed. Where can our audience find more information about you and your company?
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, so first, you can look us up online, Dymic Digital, Google search, and that's spelled D-Y-M-I-C, kind of like short for dynamic. And our website is simply dymic.com, D-Y-M-I-C.com. And you'll see our whole suite of services on our website and learn more about us and our team. And I look forward to hearing from anybody. Feel free to reach out, and we're always offering complimentary consultations to anyone who wants to get a free analysis of their digital footprint.
Thank you. And having met you and your team, I can tell you that all of you are fantastic individuals, very creative, very solution oriented. So appreciate the time. Stay safe to you and your family and all your coworkers. We will continue to converse about the future of marketing.
That sounds great. You stay safe as well. And thanks again for having me.
Thank you for listening to Prepared with Harry Aburi. For more episodes and additional resources, visit preparedwithharryaburi.com. Let's continue this discussion online. Follow along on Twitter @HarryAburi.